I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine,
I've got
making people better by making slow medicine better. Dr. Kevin Most joins us now. Well, I hope you had a nice weekend.
I did. How about, you know, perfect weather. How could you not?
Yeah, it was beautiful. And summer, I'm told, can't last forever. So, you know, make the most of it, kids. That's my really important advice to you this morning. You know, sometimes you have to think for the others. You know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Doc?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to say, hey, slow down out there. Drive carefully. Thanks, so Einstein.
Did you play golf or did you watch golf? Or
yeah,
did
no,
you
I
both?
Did both. Yeah, I did both.
Good for you.
I only got 9 holes in each day, so I know that's a big problem for the listeners who worry about me. But, yeah, I had a lot going on. And yourself?
I did the same.
Yeah.
Played early Saturday and then played 9 yesterday and then watched that unbelievable PGA. I thought it was great.
Justin Thomas, 24. 24 years old, good family story, third generation PGA professional. His dad and his grandfather were club pros, and he's one of the best young guns in the game, and nobody knows him. Well, they know him now. 4 wins this year.
And you can just see how popular he was as a player.
Seems like a nice kid.
Well, no, that look at the end of the round.
Yeah.
You've got Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth, two of probably the best players in the world, sitting up there in street clothes watching him finish.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan Spieth looked like he should be thrown out, looked like security should get him. He had a T-shirt on, his hat on backwards.
Yeah,
like, who's that?
Yeah.
All right, so I mentioned earlier I swapped texts with Eddie O this weekend, and typical of Eddie O, he's asking about me. And Eddie Olczyk, for those that don't know, is dealing with colon cancer. It was announced by the Blackhawks about a week ago. And because of that, we take this opportunity, as we do whenever there's a celebrity who gets an unfortunate illness like this, to talk about it to make sure you're fully educated. So first off, I mean, I know you haven't talked to Eddie, Doc, but talk about colon cancer.
Yeah. And Steve, two things. One, what you just said, you know, good that you check in with them. Sometimes people find out someone has a disease and they shy away when, in fact, this is a time when they actually need support, saying, hey, we're there thinking of you. You know, we're here fighting with you. So great for him.
Yeah, but that's a good point, because you don't have to. People go, well, I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything other than I was thinking about you.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to say, hey, if you need anything, call me. You don't have to say, I'm going to come by and bring it down. You could do any of that, but don't overthink the message. Just tell somebody you're thinking about them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But for Eddie, it's interesting. You know, we talked about this. I looked back. January of 2016, we talked about colon cancer in those under the age of 50 for a couple of reasons. One, my cousin had passed away at the age of 51 from colon cancer, and the wine diva, who was certainly under the age of 50, had passed away. And we talked about that because a study came out that showed this increased incidence of colon cancer of people under the age of 50. And I'll tell you, it kind of gives me goosebumps sometimes when we talk about things like this, because Eddie comes out and tells us, you know, what's going on with him. And the next day, a study comes out in JAMA that shows this increase in incidence of young colon cancer cases is actually seen in white females and males, not African-American, not blacks, no, not Hispanics, but really is limited to that, to the Caucasian race. So a lot more questions than answers, but it's fascinating. And it's, like I said, it's eerie when we talk about something and then a study comes out the next day.
Yeah. And I want women to hear that message as well. This is not just younger white men. This is younger white women as well. Now, we don't know specifically why.
No. And that's the interesting thing is I sit there and say, okay, here's the risk factors for colon cancer: obesity, smoking, eating processed meat, lack of exercise. Well, hold on. That goes across all races.
Yeah.
And what we're finding is that actually in blacks, we're seeing this incident decrease, and whites, it's increasing. Now, that being said, we have to be really careful because statistics are statistics. There's still a higher incidence of colon cancer in blacks. So don't get the message, oh, everything's great here. But we're at least seeing improvement there, where in the white, younger cases, we're seeing it's not going the right direction.
I know it's the breakfast time for people, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but I also want to keep this as simple as possible. If I think of my colon as an exit route, I want to keep that road as clean as possible. So I want a lot of fiber. I want to make sure it's kept healthy. I'm never going to be able to put up a sign there that says Dr. Most is responsible for the next half mile or whatever those highway sponsorship ads are. But the fact is we want to make sure that our plumbing is working appropriately, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's why we say this is a disease of industrialized countries, because often you'll see our diets are not high in fiber. We're eating processed meats. We're doing all these things that have chemicals in them that are exposing our colon to chemicals. And, you know, our intestines are very important, obviously. We take in nutrients and we save the stuff we need and we get rid of the stuff we don't need. And having a diet high in fiber with fruits and vegetables is one thing that's going to aid that.
We'll come back and get into more of this. We'll get Mark Harmon, who's in for Dave Ennett, involved. We'll get Andre involved as well. And during the break, Doc, because I take everything you say seriously, I am going to give Mark his first colonoscopy.
I've had one.
I'm leaving the room
for
that.
Okay, his second colonoscopy. I want to make sure that we... Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We continue with this discussion of colon cancer, 150,000 new cases a year, second leading cause of cancer-related deaths. Mark Carman lost his mom. I lost my dad, both to colon cancer. You mentioned the Wine Diva. There's nobody that is listening that hasn't been touched by it in some form. And the worst-case scenarios are when it's late in diagnosis, I suppose, Doc, and it metastasizes to the body's vital organs.
Yep, exactly. And that's the beauty of colon screening, you know, because the stage of when you capture it or when you notice it is so important. Stage one colon cancer, colonoscopy is going to be the curative treatment in 99% of the cases where they can snare and remove that polyp and it's gone from your body. You know, stage two, it's gone through the wall a little bit. Some of those need surgery, but some of them are also being able to be treated with colonoscopy. And then stage three and stage four. I would imagine Eddie is probably stage three because they've already told us that he's had surgery and is going to have some chemotherapy. So
that's my question, Doc. If it is stage three or four, the aggressive treatment can probably best be tolerated by the younger patients. But what about if you're a little bit older and are diagnosed with three or four? What would that effect have on the body?
Yeah, that's very important. You know, 85% of colon cancers are captured after the age of 50. But the ones that we're talking about, so the Eddie Olchek's, my niece, the Wine Diva, those individuals where it's found not by screening, it's found because often they have other symptoms. And when they have other symptoms, it's actually often has moved outside of the colon. Now, those individuals are usually healthier and stronger, so they can fight it a lot better. They can tolerate the toxic chemotherapy we give. They can bounce back from surgery much sooner. So the big message there is those at the age of 50 and over, get those colonoscopies because you don't want it to get to that advanced stage. Unfortunately, those under the age of 50, it's often found not by colonoscopy, but by other symptoms.
Mark Carman, say hi to Doc.
Hi, Doc. How often do we need to get these colonoscopies? I've got a pretty paranoid doctor, and so I wonder if he's telling me to go too much, but I have it in my family, Doc. So I've gotten one. I'm 44. Do I need to go once?
Well, when
a year?
Did you have the one you've had?
That's right. Within the last 2 years, I want to say. I mean, how often do I need to go here, Doc?
Yeah. So Mark, you fall into a kind of a unique group because you have a family history for it. So people that have a family history, physicians are often going to be saying, forget about 50 as the cutoff now, guys. We're moving that down to 40. Now, if you have a normal exam at 40 and you have a family history, some docs are going to give you a 5-year pass. Some might even give you a 7 to 10 year pass, but that five year plan is usually about it. Now, if you have a polyp that they found at any time, I'll give you a perfect example. For me, someone dumb enough to put this off till I was 55, had that done, I need to have my next colonoscopy in 3 years. So the time frames are really very based on what they find and actually how your doctor feels. The beauty of it is colonoscopy is a simple test. I know people don't like it, but it's pretty simple. And if it can save a life or save you from having chemotherapy, boy, sign me up.
I've had two colonoscopies. Unfortunately, both were clear. And I'll just echo what Doc just said. This is not just a doctor telling you to do the right thing for you. The test is nothing. It's nothing.
Yeah, I liked
it. The prep is miserable. But the test, you know, it's funny you say that, and I know you're only half kidding, because honestly,
I feel great
for a couple days because your system has never been cleaner.
Right. And you're terrified going into it. It's like, oh, that's it. You just lay down, and then all of a sudden you're asleep and you're done. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not awake.
No, that's the thing. When I finished the first one, I said, well, when do we start? And they go, well, about 2 hours ago. You're done. Yeah.
You're exactly right. You know, the medications that they give us now, it's not uncomfortable because we're going to give you some pain medication during the procedure. And then we also give you a medication called Versed. You don't remember the procedure. You don't remember anything about it. The one thing I would say is you have to be really careful when you're on Versed because you can say things and not remember what you said.
I can't imagine the stuff I've said. I just hope there was no tape rolling. But again, the preparation portion, the day ahead of time, I talked to somebody the other day who tried to do this at work. No.
Yeah.
Just understand, when you prepare for this test, you're going to be at home, and you're going to be at home for an extended period of time during the day. The other thing, Doc, I would say, if anybody's listening that's going to go through this, and I'm sure there are a bunch of people listening this morning who are on the verge of doing this, you got to stay hydrated. I remember getting just one of the worst headaches of my life because you're dumping your body fluids regularly for hours. So what do you recommend there?
No, totally agree. And two things, you know, people used to say, oh my gosh, they have to drink these huge bottles of stuff for the prep. The new preps are much easier and much more tolerable, so you don't have to worry about that. But you hit on a very key point. You know, during the prep, what we're trying to do is clean the bowel. And the reason we want that is we want the gastroenterologist who has his scope to be able to see everything clearly and not miss even small lesions. So during that time, while we're clearing our bowel, we're going to lose fluid. So keeping up with fluids on top of it, even though I don't want to do that, I'm going to go to the bathroom again. You know what? You want to do that because the body will still absorb the fluids. It's trying to get rid of the solid.
Yeah. And by the way, the last thing you want is to go through 2/3 of the prep and then give up on the final third, go in for the procedure and have a doctor send you home because you can't do it.
Correct.
Yeah, that's not
correct.
Good. You don't want that.
Or you have a suboptimal study, you know, and you're not going to get the answers that you need or the reassurance that everything is fine.
You don't want anything suboptimal.
Nope.
All right, Doc, before I let you go, 2 quick things. One, there's good news here, and the good news consists of anecdotal stories all over, and a lot of you probably have those as well. But I told you last fall that a 50-year-old cousin who is just rock-solid healthy ended up with stage 4 colon cancer. He has now put on 35 pounds. The doctors are calling him a walking, talking miracle. He's active, and they are optimistic that he could end up on the other side of this, where they were telling family members last fall that it's a matter of time. Wow. So those stories are possible. But the mistake he made, and he would be the first to admit it, is when he had digestive issues for literally 2 months last summer that got progressively worse and worse, he didn't want to go to the doctor. He just wanted it to be better. He didn't want to go to the doctor. The worst thing to guarantee you're going to have problems with cancer of any kind is to not listen to those signals from your body, right?
Absolutely. You know, listen to the signals from your body and follow the screening. And believe me, I just laid it out there. I was a complete idiot. I see gastroenterologists every single day.
Right.
I talk to them every single day. And yet I put off my colonoscopy for 5 years and I had a precancerous lesion found. I mean, and I think I'm somewhat educated, but how stupid was I?
And this is the doctor. And we know doctors are the worst possible patients, but this is the doctor telling you he should have done it differently. Who's the
second worst? Radio host.
Yes. So, touche.
Well, Doc, we're out of time. It's Dr. Kevin Most with important information in Ask Your Doctor Today. If you are in the hereditary group or approaching the age of 50, if you're not, this is nothing to mess around with. And you know what? Do it for Eddie. He'd want you to take care of yourself.
I was just going to say, do it for Eddie. You're getting close to 50. Think about it. I mean, talk to the doc and say, hey, I'm turning 50. Bring it up. I'm 49. When can I have my colonoscopy? Versus them saying, because a lot of people don't go to the doctor when they're 50. They don't go unless they're sick.
Yep.
So look for it.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Thank you, Doc.
You got it. Take care, man. Talk to you later.